Trying to act too hard right here because I'd get too many fingers pointing at me right here. But there's this great danger of lying to God. The problem is, folks, that when we sin, we involve other people. When we make a selfish choice for ourselves, we involve other folks in that decision that we made. This is what Peter said to him. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie? You wonder where that lie or that pretense came from? It came from Satan. Then we see the confrontation by the Holy Spirit. Actually, he uses the mouth of Peter, but the Lord is confronting them here in verses 3 and verse 4. So there's this divine discernment that Peter receives that Ananias is lying. And he points it out, points out the sin with, someone said, penetrating accuracy. That's the way the Lord works. Like Nathan, who rebuked David's adultery. Do you remember that story? You're the man, David. You're the man. You're the man that took the sheep out of the house and butchered it for a stranger that had come your way. You're the man that did that, David. Like Elisha, who questioned his greedy servant Gehazi. Do you remember that story? Now I'm going to have some help. When the man with leprosy, whose name was Haman. Huh? Naaman the leper. Did I get that right? Did she get it right? Naaman. Naaman the leper came to Elijah the prophet for healing. And here was a great man in his own country. And he drives up before the old prophet's place. And the old prophet sends a messenger out to him and says, go duck 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be cleansed. And you know the story that took place. Well, he wanted to give a gift. And he said, no, you keep your gifts to yourself. I don't want to be bribed. I'm not going to be bribed for God using me in the ministry, is what Elijah is saying. Well, Gehazi, his servant, after everybody had kind of gotten back out of the way, he ran over there and said, well, he's changed his mind. So he took those gifts and he hid them. Well, he lied. And Naaman's leprosy got on Gehazi. And he died with it. There's this judgment from God in Acts 5, verse 5 and 6. You've lied to God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, look with me over at that. We got any Bible drillers here? Psalms? Proverbs? What's that next one? Ecclesiastes. And look at chapter 5 and look down at verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay it. It's serious business with the Lord when we tell God that we're going to do something and we don't do it. Well, you know the story, we've read it. About 3 hours later, his wife shows up wondering what's happened to her husband. What in the world's taking him so long? Well, he couldn't get back. In verse 7, he dies. So this same cycle of events take place with Sapphira as with Ananias. So she declares, this is how much we sold the land for. She's confronted and she has an opportunity, she has a chance to tell the truth, but she lies. Did you know that the Bible tells us that there's no temptation taking us but such as is common unto man? But God is faithful, who will not allow, I've lost it here, will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. She had a way of escape and she chose not to use it. How many times has God done that in our lives? The Lord confronts us and we have an opportunity to just tell the truth. I've used this for an illustration several times. At the time that I got the illustration, I was really nervous. But several years ago, we had a young lady come and help us in Vacation Bible School from Valley Springs. And by the way, Brother Wes is preaching at Valley Springs this morning. We want to be in prayer for him. But she had this little kit of different kind of chemicals or water or whatever. Anyway, she'd pour this color in this and it would make a certain color. Anyway, the object of the thing was that Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin. And so she got me up before the Vacation Bible School, and she had this little kid out here in front of her, and she said, okay, she said, Bro Lance, she said, name one of your sins. I said, what? She said, name one of your sins. How would you like to be there? So I started trying to think of the least thing. I said, lying. She said, okay, let's just... So anyway, she gave the illustration and showed how Jesus' blood would cleanse us from that. We have a way, when we are tempted, we have a way of escape that the Lord gives us. We don't have to lie. The Lord gives us a way out. We don't have to sin. The Lord gives us a way out. Now, I know that we do. And the Bible says that when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Lord gives us that promise in His Scripture, but He does not give us a license to sin. So why was this sin so hideous? For one thing, their sin, their deed, was premeditated. I think we can sin off the spur of the moment, maybe even accidentally. But this is premeditated sin. They decided this. At the heart of their action was pride. Their real desire was not to take a donation to their church. They wanted glory for themselves. Their serious, serious responsibility for hypocrisy. Look with me at the book of Psalms. Best way to find the book of Psalms, open your Bible right square in the middle. And most of the time, it's going to be there. Way over, 139th Psalm. And look at verse 23. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So in this thing of hypocrisy, we have this when we look in the mirror, we have to be honest with ourselves. Can you be so dishonest with yourself that you forget what you look like, forget what kind of guy you really are? that you and I would practice a lie so long that we would begin to think that that is the truth. We have a responsibility to God in our life. Back up in Psalms and go to Psalms 32. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. You know what that word guile really means there? It's deceit. It's hypocrisy. That we're not trying to put on a show. When we get before the Lord, as well as before other people, we need to become transparent. And the Lord loves transparency. He wants us to just be ourselves. He don't want us to try to be someone else or to make a pretense that we're something that we're really not. Because He created us to be who we are. He wants us to be ourselves. And He wants to use us in that way. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old. Through my roaring all the day long, I couldn't find any peace in that. Not only do we have a responsibility to ourselves, but we have a responsibility to the body, to the church body, to be transparent, to not be hypocrites. Have you ever heard anyone say that the reason that they didn't come to church is because of the hypocrites? That's dumb. They're hypocrites themselves, and they're not coming because of their own hypocrisy. Go ahead and tell them I said that, and then they can take it up with me, and they don't have to take it up with you. But of course there's hypocrites in the church. There's hypocrites at Walmart. There's hypocrites at the dollar store. There's hypocrites where you work and you're still going to work. There's hypocrites down at the school. Those kids that you hang out with are hypocrites. There's hypocrites everywhere. What you and I must focus on is our own transparency among the people that are there. We're that Bible that they're reading, and for us to be the real thing. Let love be, here's a big old word, dissimulation. What in the world does that mean? Well, look it up. It's hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy. Amen. Loving one another without hypocrisy. It is this that you and I owe the body that you and I are a member of, this church that you and I are a member of, this body of Christ that you and I are a member of, that we owe it to one another not to be hypocrites, not to try to put on airs, not to try to be something that we're really not. Where did I get to? 12 and 9. Abhor that which is evil. And then he said, hold on to something else. What is it? That which is good. Cleave to that which is good. Hang on to that which is good. Had you ever thought about what it would be like that if all of us worked at being transparent? How much we could help other people if we would be transparent ourselves. It's for folks to think that we're perfect because we put on some kind of air of being that way. I'm not trying to give us some kind of license to sin. Don't get me wrong here. But you know the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. for folks to be able to talk to us and say, I know you don't understand this because you don't have anything like this in your life. But you see, we have this responsibility before God that we are honest before Him. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Why? I mean, God knows. He knows every word before it ever comes out of our mouth. He knows everything there is. He knows every thought that we have ever thought. He knows exactly what we are like. And for us to try to fool Him, how foolish of us. But for us to say, Lord, you know what I'm like. Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be like Ananias and Sapphira. Lord, make a Barnabas out of me. I want to be an encourager. I want to be that person that comes along beside other people that have gone through some of the same things that I've gone through in my life and be an encourager to them and be able to say to them, okay, buddy, what you need to do, just hang on. You need to get on the other side of this. You need to make a volitional decision not to do that again. Don't do it again. Trust in the Lord. Be God's man. You go back and be the father to your children and the husband to your wife that God's called you to be. I've made lots and lots of mistakes. I would not want some kind of recording that recorded every mistake that I'd ever made with my wife and my kids. It'd be awful. I've made lots of them. You have too. The thing for us to do is to be transparent among other people and say, okay, we're going to work on that to be different. Let's stand together. I want to try to make this as clear as I can.